With this second Sunday of Advent, we begin the Gospel of St. Mark. It's the shortest of the four synoptic Gospels. And Mark was not an apostle. He was a disciple of the Lord. We are disciples or followers of the Lord also. And Mark begins by saying the beginning of the good news. Evangelium is the Greek, and good news in English also means gospel or stelline, to tell about God. And he begins by saying Jesus Christ is God, the Son of God. And then goes on to bring us to John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the Lord. John the Baptist was an extraordinarily holy man, and we hear about him being like a lion roaring in the wilderness. Why a lion and not a dog or a camel? Because, as C.S. Lewis would well depict, through Aslan, a lion is the strongest and the greatest of the animals. So too, John the Baptist was the strongest and the greatest of the Old Testament prophets to bring us Christ. He is the voice that cries in the wilderness. And you need a voice to hear the word. You can't hear the word unless a voice proclaims the word. And the word remains merely an idea until it is proclaimed. Jesus would not become public in his ministry until John had announced him, until the voice brought us the word of God. John, when he begins his gospel, and that's the gospel of Christmas Day, begins that Jesus is the Word of God. If we look at Christ as the Word, we can make an analogy here between thought, word, and dialogue. The thought remains hidden. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. Perhaps it's a good thing. But whatever the thought in your mind, it remains a mystery beyond comprehension. God the Father's like a thought. He was unknown as a father to the Jews. He was God, eternal, infinite or powerful, but not father. And therefore he remains secretive, as our thoughts are. Christ is the word that brings the thought into reality. John announces that word. The word is Christ, who makes himself known and reveals who God actually is, a trinity of persons. Thought becomes word, and the word, what's a word unless it enters into a discourse or a dialogue? A dialogue is an exchange of words, and that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, who exchanges grace and love within our hearts. So we can see here an analogy with language, thought, word, and dialogue, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the one that connects us to the Son of God is John. If you ever go overseas, especially to Italy, you'll find at Venice, fascinating city in the north, lots of lions. When I first went there as a young man in the late 70s, I couldn't work out why there were lions atop the palace, lions over here on this pedestal, lions on top of the Duomo, the cathedral there. And it would take me years before I found out the reason. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a passage that refers to symbolic animals. And those symbols became symbols of our four Gospels. For example, you might go into the cathedral in Wagga or some other church, you'll find that the lectern or ambo has an eagle on the top. Why an eagle and not a dove or an ostrich or a kangaroo? Because the eagle is a symbol of St. John's Gospel. Each gospel has a symbolic animal. The eagle for John, the bull or ox for Matthew, and for Mark, it's a lion. A lion is his symbol. And the lion features at Venice because St. Mark is buried at Venice in northern Italy. And so his symbol is everywhere. So too, the voice of John the Baptist went everywhere. And he was like a lion, roaring, and people beckoned. They came. They could see his power. And he was merely the one to bring us to Christ. He was the voice to make the word known. Well, in our modern day to work today, in 2014, how can we be like John the Baptist and make Christ better known this Christmas? Well, firstly, we can take home our bulletin with the Christmas Mass times and invite people now to Christmas Mass. Or at least start thinking about who could be invited. It might be the next door neighbour, might be someone you're visiting, and they don't have to be a Catholic. Often at Christmas time, people like to touch base with the reason for the season. We talked about that last weekend, that Advent is our preparation time, to focus on Christ and his birthday. By today, how many children know that this is the feast of St. Nicholas, the 6th of December, the beginning of the mythical character Santa Claus, or St. Klaus, is based upon St. Nicholas, who was an extraordinarily generous and kind bishop of the 4th century. So, unless we want our children not to know why we have Christmas, let us think about who we can invite now, who we can approach in the next few weeks and be the voice of John the Baptist, bringing them to the Word of God this year. Another way we can help people come to know God is by unpacking some of the Christmas themes. I've put a piece on the bulletin, and each week I'll add something different or new with regards our tradition. At various traditions, with the Jesse tree, the giving tree, or at the poinsettia we now see in the shops being sold, all these things need to be tied together, wrapped together. And we, like John, can be the voice to explain those things to others. Or perhaps people aren't so much tuned into hearing the voice. Perhaps they don't listen. Because the voice can scream and yell, as often parents do to children, to get them to do what they want. But unless people listen, the voice, the word, is never conveyed. And therefore we need silence. Silence enables us to hear God's word. The voice then penetrates and the seed is sown. So silence is important, a moment of recollection, prayerfulness during Advent, to help us prepare well. And with that, we can also encourage people to focus on their faith and the meaning of their faith. Monday is the feast of the Immaculate Conception. Mary was the mother of faith and our model. We should focus on her too, especially on that day, and ask her to inspire us and think about how she went about preparation for the birth of Christ at Bethlehem, that arduous and difficult long journey she had to make. And why did she have to make it? What providential decrees were set up that the child would be born in the city of David? These things we think about and we probe into the scriptures to unpack and explain to others. And if people are not intellectually tuned into listening, at least show them the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I put a piece in the bulletin about it. Her feast is coming up also. That image itself is a visual reminder of God's presence, because the image is miraculous. It ought not to be where it is, physically, and with such colours. They still don't know what the colours are on the, not canvas, but the cloth that she appeared on back in the 16th century. So Google Guadalupe image and you'll find much to talk about, much to visually enhance you. But most of all, to remind you that we're living in a spiritual world. Bethlehem is a spiritual place, spiritually speaking, where Christ this year wants to be born, born into your hearts. Let us be therefore like John, uttering the word, be the voice to bring that word, Christ himself, into your hearts and homes. Praise be Jesus Christ.